All right, Carrie, thank you so much. Beautiful Star of Bethlehem. Wow. I haven't heard that in a while. I'm glad y'all sang that. Thank you. And whoever requested it, thank you for requesting it. I'll say that as well. Joy to the world. That is probably one of the most, maybe, memorable songs, carols of the Christmas season, isn't it? Joy to the world. And as we said earlier, we think about that when we think about the announcement from the angel, joy, good news of great joy. When I think about joy, I think about a song from my youth, and some of you, from when I was a child, I've got that joy, 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 joy. Anybody remember? Down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in, yeah, okay, you know where I was going with that, right? Didn't Granny used to sing that on the Beverly Hillbillies? Am I mistaken on that? I don't know. Did she sing it from time to time when she get a little bit happy? Sing, I got the joy, joy. Anyway, that image comes in my mind every time I think about joy when Granny was happy, you know. And but we think about those times in our lives, those events in our lives that give us great joy. And if you look at the birth narrative, when Jesus Christ was born, we see a time period in the history of mankind that was bereft of joy. And so when the angels made that proclamation of good news of great joy, it was incredibly significant for the world. And so most definitely joy to the world. The Lord is come. I want to share with you. I'm not going to be very long this morning, and you know, I say that, you know, and sometimes y'all are like, well, what does your very long mean? But I really do have a plan. I'm planning to not be very long this morning because I understand there's y'all have family. You want to go eat dinner and enjoy that time. And I just said that word, enjoy that time, because it does give us great joy to spend time with our families, especially around this time of year. But I want to share with you as a little survey of the birth narrative of Jesus Christ and give you four things that I see. And when if we employ these in our lives, we can be sure to find joy. We understand that joy comes from God. God is that source of joy. And in fact, as I quoted a portion of that verse earlier during the prayer time, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So it's what gives us what we need to continue on. And I think if you look at the birth narrative of Jesus Christ, we find in the characters something that they do that provides their lives with joy. And I think if we do that in our lives, we can be sure that there will be joy. So first of all, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, I want to share with you just one verse here, and then we'll move over to Matthew, and then we're going to move back to Luke. So we're going to kind of go back and forth today as we talk about this idea of joy, and there's good news of great joy. We see here in the birth narrative, and I read a portion of this earlier, when the shepherds were in the fields and they were watching their flocks, the angel appeared and the angel made the pronouncement of, you know, don't be afraid, for I bring you good tidings, good news of great joy for all people. And then we see that that angel was then joined by a heavenly host of angels, correct? And they said, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And you can just imagine the shepherds and their amazement and their awe of what was happening, because this is not routine for them, correct? I mean, this is a normal cold. We say cold. We don't know exactly when the birth of Jesus happened. We always like those images of the shepherds out in the fields, and they're a bit snow covered, and it's cold, and they're around a fire. They can see their breath, and they're talking about this sheep and how maybe dumb that sheep was. I'm just kidding. No, they. We do think sheep are dumb, though, right? Right. But they're talking about everything that's going on, and maybe, you know, there's some scholars that believe that these shepherds were actually guarding the flocks of the lambs for the temple sacrifice. So there's even that plays in. And there are also some scholars that believe that the birth of Jesus happened around the Feast of the Tabernacles. Because that was one of the reasons why we see that John in his birth narrative in John chapter 1, that the language that John uses when it says that that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that word, it literally means he pitched his tent. So there's a bit of that idea, and even with when you think about the Feast of the Tabernacles, you think about the Festival of Lights, and that's why John, in his birth narrative, he talked about a light shining in the darkness, even the prophecies of Jesus, how he would be a light to shine in the darkness. And so there's a lot of things that we don't really know about the timing, but we know that the shepherds were out in the fields. And it was a routine night for them. And then something incredible happens. And sure, if you and I were in the fields that day or that evening, and we were among doing the things that we normally do, and this happens, we would first be incredibly afraid until the angel said, "Don't be afraid." And even with that saying, "Don't be afraid," I'm sure the fears didn't just immediately leave us, but it would cause us to wonder about what was to come. And then this whole, you know, like heaven opens up, and my goodness, can you imagine the joy that was just streaming within them now, because they were privy to something incredible. And not only that this moment, it wasn't just that this moment was incredible, but the news that about a Savior being born, they're like, "Oh my goodness." And you know these shepherds because they would know Scripture. They would know, they've been to synagogue. They knew the prophecies about the Messiah. And now these angels are saying something about a Savior, about a Messiah. They're just incredibly curious now. So you can just imagine why they just left everything. Now think about this. If we were employed as a shepherd and our job was to watch the flocks and we just left them. I mean, it doesn't say that they had Timothy and Philip and Andrew and they said, "Hey guys, we got to go see what was happening. Y'all stay here and watch the flocks." It doesn't say that, right? It says that they just left. They just up and went. And so you can imagine that joy and that curiosity. And then they find the baby Jesus, just as the angels had said. And they worship him. So all this is going on. Now, I want you to notice Mary's response here. Mary's response in verse 19. It says, "But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them." Mary was treasuring up. What was she doing? She began to store these things within the vault of her mind so that she could remember them. And so one of the things that I see in this birth narrative that gives us joy, joy comes when we remember what God has done. Joy comes when we remember what God has done. You think about Mary with all this that's happening there. Not only that, but even when the Magi come a little bit later, and she's storing these things up in her heart so that later on she it comes to mind and it gives her great joy because she remembers that the angel told her about this baby who was inside of her already because the Holy Spirit had conceived it in her, about this baby that was going to be the Savior of the world. And so she starts thinking about, and it gives her great joy. I think if you, it makes sense, doesn't it? Because when we look back on our lives, just what happens within our families, we do remember the bad things at times. But more than the bad things, we remember the good times, don't we? And that's what keeps us going. And the same is true in our relationship with God. When we think about what God has done for us in the past, how faithful he has been in the past, we can have great joy in moving forward in the future, because if he was faithful in the past, he's faithful in the present, and he will be faithful in the future. Does that make sense? So it's very obvious that here in this story why Mary would treasure these things and she would meditate upon them, because they would give us great joy. So for us, when we remember what God has done for us, joy comes, doesn't it? I mean, as I quoted that verse earlier from Psalm 51, when David is being repented unto God about his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah, he says, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." We think back to that moment when Christ got a hold of our hearts through the working of the Holy Spirit, and in that moment we said yes to that invitation of the grace of God, right? I remember it well. When I was almost, and you'll probably tire of me saying this, of recounting the time when Jesus got a hold of my heart, but I really kind of don't care, all right? Because I love telling it, because it's true. When I look back on that moment, I remember the joy that entered my heart and the tears that flowed from my face, not because I was sad, but because there was great joy. And I'm telling you that whenever Satan gets me down because of this or that, I go back to that moment. And when Satan tells me that you are no good and God can't use you, I go back to that moment and I say, well, wait a second, I'm a child of God. I remember that joy, and that joy keeps me going. Does that make sense? So joy comes when we remember what God has done. Now let's go over to Matthew chapter 2. So I think this brings in the second thing when we think about joy and joy coming and how we can have that in our lives. I've already mentioned the wise men or the magi coming and visiting. And this must have been an incredible scene for the Israelites in Jerusalem, especially because if you think about the Magi, and obviously we don't know if there was three. We always say there are three because there's three gifts. We're not for sure, but even if there was just three, we know that there was a caravan, right? Because if they're coming from the east and they're traveling, they have to have supplies to travel with, correct? And not only that, if they have these gifts like they have, you know that there's people there helping them guard everything, because it's not like now you get in a car and you pack up everything and you move and we don't have a threat of anybody stopping us along the way, right? Because back then they had people that would rob other people, right? And so you know that there's a caravan. I mean, we got to think about all these things, these animals and these people that are with them, this grand caravan coming to Jerusalem, and the Magi come. Where is this that's been prophesied? We've seen a star. And so you can even imagine why Herod was so worried when he saw this caravan come into Jerusalem, and how you know, his level of concern, because here they are, this incredible caravan to bring gifts to a king, and it wasn't him. So you have the Magi, and they're going back and forth, and they instruct them as to where the child would be born, and so they continue on their journey. And notice here in verse 9, Matthew chapter 2, verse 9. After hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was, the star they had seen at its rising. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, guess what? They were overwhelmed with joy. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So joy comes when we worship God for who he is. Joy comes when we remember what he has done. Joy also comes when we worship him for who he is. And this is what these Magi were doing. They were coming to this little baby, but they knew that this little baby was not an ordinary baby, right? Hey, this was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This was God Almighty in the flesh, and they came to worship him. Now, we can understand why this flows very well in our minds when it comes to joy, because when we think about God, we think about who he is, it should give us great joy to worship him. We worship him for his faithfulness. We worship him for his love. We worship him because he's so good. He is such a good, good Father, right? We sing that. That's one of the newer worship songs that we sing from time to time. He's such a, and He is a good, good Father who gives us wonderful gifts. So joy comes when we worship Him for who He is. And also, we go back to Luke. I told you we'd be going back and forth. Joy comes when we serve God and His people. I think we see this in the account of Simeon and Anna. Back when we talked about the hope that Christmas, or I say Christmas, not just Christmas, but the birth narrative of Jesus Christ, how He brings hope to us. We look at the example of Simeon and Anna, who were every day going to the temple. And it says of Anna herself that she served in the temple and she prayed there. We know that Simeon probably served people there, served God and serving people. And that gave them great joy because they understood the prophecies about the Messiah and that the Messiah was coming. In fact, Simeon was made privy to the information that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. So you know it gave him great joy to go to the temple every day to serve and to look for the Savior. And so I think it's very natural for us when we think about these individuals and we think about our lives, what gives us great joy, it gives us great joy when we serve God and we serve His people. I mean, it's commanded in Scripture that we serve one another and to serve the Lord. I mean, in fact, you go serve the Lord with gladness, right? Enter His courts with song. That's a song, right? Is it in the hymnal still, Al Ray? Serve the Lord with gladness, enter His courts with song, to heart. Yeah. See, the thing's still there. Serve the Lord with gladness. And I will tell you, I don't have to tell you, do I? Because you know that when you serve God, when you get involved in His ministry, doing His work, there is joy. There's joy. There's joy in serving people. I told you earlier, as we took those food boxes to those families, those needy families, it gave my heart great joy and those that helped. And it should, those who, let me just say thank you to those who contributed items and also contributed monetary funds for that. Because let me tell you, those families greatly appreciated those things. And it should do your heart, it should give your heart great joy that you had a part in that. Because we're serving people and we're doing what God has told us to do. I mean, you look in Matthew chapter 25, isn't it? Where He talks about when he's separating the sheep and the goats, right? Is it 25 or 26? Somebody correct me. Anybody? We got fast fingers here. Anybody? I think it's 25. 25. All right, Al Ray's saying 25. And he's saying, enter into the joy of my kingdom. Enter into the what? Joy of my kingdom, right? He said, and they said, well, when did we do this and that? Well, when you fed somebody, when you gave them something to drink and so forth. There's joy in serving. Joy comes when we remember what God has done. Joy comes when we worship Him for who He is. Joy comes when we serve Him and we serve people. And then lastly, go back one page maybe in your Bible. Joy comes when we tell others about His Son. Joy comes when we tell others about His Son. There in verse 20 of Luke chapter 2, we read 19, but Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. Now let's look at the shepherds. What did they do? It says they returned. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. It says go back to 17, and after seeing Mary, Joseph, and the baby, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed. So they went back to their flocks, but the whole time they were telling people, weren't they? They were glorifying and praising God because they had been on one of the most significant events in all of the history of mankind, right? Shepherds, who were the outcast of society, are now a part of this glorious unfolding of God's plan of redemption. Isn't that amazing? And here they are. I don't know about you, but I don't think you can glorify God without there being joy, right? I don't think you can tell others without there being joy. I mean, you just heard me talk about my story and how there was much joy. It gives me great joy to tell others about what God has done in my life and how he saved me. And that should be true of all of us. If God has saved us, if he truly is this baby in a manger whose name was Jesus because he would save his people from his sins, who saved me from my sins, then I should have great joy in telling the good news of Jesus Christ to other people. Joy comes when we remember what God has done. Joy comes when we worship him for who he is. Joy comes when we serve God and his people. And joy comes when we tell others about his son. Do you have this joy this morning? Do you have this joy this morning? I want to encourage you. Go back through this wonderful birth narrative. Read it. Meditate it upon it. Okay? See that thread of joy that is infused within this wonderful unfolding. And think about joy and how you could have joy in your life. Think about what God has done. Think about who he is. Think about how we might be able to serve him. And think about how we might be able to tell others this same news that was proclaimed, not only by the angels, not only by the shepherds. Because you think about the Magi who went back to their hometown, do you think they were just like, oh, that was something special? I'm glad we encountered that. And then they said, not another word. Do you think that was the case? No. I think they were telling the people around them about who they met because it gave them great joy that they too were a part of this glorious unfolding of God's great redemption plan. Did you know that you're a part of that as well? If you are a Christ follower, God invites you to be a part of that. Do you have that joy this morning? Do you know it? Go to God. He is the source of our joy, and it will give you strength. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, this morning, as we have talked about joy, we think about this baby Jesus who it was prophesied about him that he would save his people from their sins, and that's exactly what he did. We think about the joy that not only a new life brings, but everything that was attached to this little baby. And we're so thankful that that joy can be a part of our lives. I pray for each of us in here today. If we are experiencing some time where there is a lack of joy, that, Father, we will remember what you've done. Father, we will begin to worship you for who you are. Father, that we will search out how we might be able to serve you and then tell others about Jesus. Because when we do that, Father, that joy is going to flood our souls. That joy that in your word says unspeakable joy. God, would you infuse our lives with that joy today? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.